I'm a recovered alcoholic. And for those of you who are new in AA or just thinking about coming, when I say recovered, I don't mean I'm cured of alcoholism because that's just not so. But I've been relieved of, I guess, the symptoms of alcoholism. I haven't had to have a drink for nearly 40 years. And to me, that would have proved I don't have a drinking problem. But of course, I don't have a, it's not a drinking problem. This is an actual disease I have. So I am, to back up a wee bit and where I started, as a child, I was always shy and scared and a redhead who used to blush at the drop of a hat. Found it very difficult to be with people. Yeah, I never felt I fitted in. Always felt like I was a square peg in a round hole, or else a round hole in a round peg in a square hole. But when I got to, and I shifted schools a lot, so I was constantly under new pressure for new places and new people. But when I got to 16 and had left school, I also started drinking. And when I say started drinking, very briefly, not often, and I didn't think it caused any problems in my life. In fact, it made me feel better. Because I didn't, although I liked the effect, I also didn't like the effect. I didn't like the what felt like lack of control. Anyway, a year or so later, I started my nursing training. And once again, I didn't drink because I feared to drink. But my fellow classmates encouraged me to drink, and so I would drink. But it was really, I drank very little. I did have a night when I drank too much and I totally blacked out and couldn't remember anything about how I got home or anything like that. And I just thought that was what happened to everyone when they drank, which is what kept me being very careful about the amount I drank. But eventually I drank two or three too many and once again went into blackout. I got married, had a child. Once again, drank very rarely, but every time I drank, it seemed to me there was trouble attached to it somehow. And after three kids, I left that first marriage. I had, by that stage, had started taking tablets for my nerves. And when I left that marriage and came back to the South Island, I started drinking in strange places, places I'd never drunk before. The Big Book talks about seeking out sordid places, and I did. And my sordid behaviour, well, my behaviour started to become sordid as well. And things just got worse and worse and worse. They say, the disease is progressive, and it certainly was for me. And I got into trouble often with my drinking. And only a few years later, I was appearing in the courts because of my behaviour. That was sort of okay, but then my husband died unexpectedly, which gave me permission to drink even more. So every time I drank, things were going wrong. And most people don't go as far down into the gutter as I did. And after a while, I ended up in a treatment centre for alcoholism, where I knew that they would apologise for the counsellor making a mistake and thinking I was an alcoholic, because I knew I certainly wasn't. But a few days after I got into the treatment centre, I learned about alcoholism, and I thought alcoholics were men. I thought they lived in parks. I thought all those things, and I didn't do that. Therefore, I wasn't an alcoholic. After all, I'd grown up in a middle-class family and had elocution lessons and piano lessons and things like that. So how can I possibly be alcoholic? But they convinced me that absolutely I was an alcoholic and showed me all the signs and symptoms that I had. And each one of us, have different signs and symptoms of our alcoholism. My biggest symptom was I would end up in bed with men. I had no idea who they were. And that was not my normal behavior. When I wasn't drinking, I never did that. Wouldn't have dreamt of it. But when I was drinking, absolutely I did. And I had blackouts. And I thought blackouts were really just an excuse. But I did not know how I got home the night before or whatever had happened. I wouldn't know. And I thought when people said that, it was just pure excuse. And even in the treatment centre, I continued to think that. But I also knew that I thought differently. I certainly didn't know what had happened the night before. Anyway, I was introduced to AA in the treatment centre. They told me I would have to go to AA if I wanted to stay sober. Well, actually, I didn't want to stay sober. I just wanted the trouble to stop, and I wanted the men out of my bed. That was the bottom line. And they told me that, well, the way to do that will be to go to AA, don't drink, get a sponsor, do the steps, and you'll be fine. And this just sounded too simple for me. I was an intelligent woman and I wanted to know the whys and wherefores. And I asked why so many times. They told me that I had analysis paralysis, that I was just going round and round in circles, trying to find the why. And they said, it actually doesn't matter why you've got alcoholism. It's, the reality is you have and you have to treat it. So I ended up going to AA against my will. I felt guilty every time the preamble was read and it said the only requirement was a desire to stop drinking. Because as I said, I didn't desire to stop drinking. But I did stop. And I was going to AA for about 9 months, saying, I'm Heather and I'm an alcoholic. But deep down, not believing that. But I kept going, like the treatment centre said, because I'd told myself they're the experts, they know what they're doing. And sure enough, after 9 months, I was at a meeting and a man said something at the meeting, and I can't remember what he said, but he said something that made me think, oh my God, I'm an alcoholic. As though this was brand new information. And that just changed my so-called recovery almost instantly. And I started working the steps again on a different level. There's no doubt about it. What he said shifted my thoughts from my head, where I knew I was an alcoholic, to my heart, where I believed it. And that was a huge difference. And so if I knew what it was, I'd wrap it up and I'd give it to other people. But maybe that wouldn't have helped them because we all hear things very differently in the fellowship. I've gone to meetings where someone said, oh, what a great meeting. And I've thought, what a load of rubbish that one was. So, we all hear it so differently. And so for me, I kept on going to the meetings. I did what little service I could, which was setting up chairs and hanging up banners and doing the dishes, that sort of thing, and doing the steps. But I thought I'd done the first 5 or 6 steps in the treatment centre. And it wasn't till I was about 3 years sober and I got a new sponsor, and she started me working the steps using the big book exactly as it's written. And I'd hated the big book when I was given it in the treatment centre. I thought it was a waste of time. It was written in old American English. It just didn't seem to, it didn't appeal to me in the slightest. It had he, and I was, a she. And so I just didn't know, how it was. Anyway, my next sponsor started taking me through the big book and getting me to do the steps as we got to them. And we got through them very quickly, and I started realizing that whatever it was that that guy had told me at that Thursday night meeting was exactly right. Yes, I was an alcoholic, and I was believing it in my heart, not just intellectually. Because intellectually, absolutely, I could tick off all the signs and symptoms of alcoholism and know that that was so. And I just kept going to AA, and I kept sponsoring other women, helping them do the steps like I'd been helped. Not like the first sponsor who had sort of said, go to meetings, that's how you'll get sober, because I now know that going to meetings does not get me sober. Going to meetings can give me some relief, but it certainly doesn't get me sober. The only thing that's got me sober has been working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and yet I hadn't wanted to do a lot of them because they talked about God and I wasn't interested in God. And then they had things called traditions hanging on the wall, and I didn't want to do any of that because I thought that was for the bosses of AA. And, I didn't want to be told by anyone what to do and what not to do. So I just kept coming, going to AA, kept taking women to meetings, in my car. I had a lot of things happen to me in my early years of recovery. My husband had died 18 months before I got sober, and then my next partner, he was a violent man whenever he drank, and I ended up in the woman's refuge, where his probation officer put me for fear of me being killed. And I'm just pleased I stayed in a place I didn't even want to be, doing something I didn't even want to do, which was to get sober, long enough for my life to have been turned around totally. I haven't, I said I went to court a few times before I went to treatment. I've never been to court. I haven't had the police knocking on my door since I got sober. I've had a whole lot of things taken out of my life, and my life is more normal. Whereas, before, I'm sure there were people who saw me walking down the street drunk and would have known I was an alcoholic. Now I could walk down the main street of any city in New Zealand or the world, and no one's going to look at me and think there's a reject if ever I saw one, because I just looked like any other woman my age walking down the street. And so I'm just really grateful that AA turned my life around, even though I didn't think it needed turning around. And life has become amazing ever since. One of the great things about Alcoholics Anonymous is that we take money from nowhere. Therefore, we have a tradition which is all about self-support. And self-support is not just the money in the basket. It's about keeping the organization going. It's helping send out pamphlets. It's going to prisons. It's doing a number of things that keeps AA going. And we talk about this as AA service. And I've been privileged to do service at many levels. And I'm just, so pleased that I belong to somewhere that we don't have our hand out asking for help from anyone. And I'm willing, and any alcoholic who has got sober through Alcoholics Anonymous always wants to give back. I don't want to be one of the takers in AA. I want to be one of the givers. And for me, being a giver means that I do hang out the banners and set out the chairs and take women to meetings and sponsor women and work on various committees. And yet, every time I've been asked to do something for AA, my immediate reaction in my head is no. I never want to do it. But as the big book says, nothing will ensure my sobriety more than intensive work with other alcoholics. And if I'm not doing service, I'm not doing intensive work with anyone, not even myself.